Tommy. We've all been looking forward to you. As you can see, everybody's really excited about having you here. This is The People Speak. It's a live one-hour radio show that hosts guests from various and unique backgrounds, political activists, multicultural fields of interest, and the arts. Thank you all for sharing the evening right here in Pal Talk, the world's largest internet chat community. You can join us on Pal Talk by going to paltalk.com and downloading the software. Once you're there, you too can be part of our interactive virtual auditorium and join us with our guests. Our guest tonight is Tommy Chong, the Canadian-born actor and musician who's well-known for his stereotypical portrayals of the hippie-era stoners. He is most widely known for his role as Chong in the marijuana-themed Cheech and Chong comedy movies with Cheech Marin. Tonight we'll be talking to Tommy about his career, his tribulations, his upcoming book, documentaries, and all kinds of stuff. Tommy's still rocking after all this time. We have a couple of messages, and then we're going to be right back with Tommy because I know you guys have been waiting for this. Pepsi, on with the show.
We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now, a public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Welcome to The People Speaks with Tommy Chong. Tommy, you've got a wonderful career, and I know there are a lot of people here that want to talk to you. We have some questions. Could you tell us some of the things? I think a lot of people that were waiting around here, Tommy, this evening were waiting and were pleasantly just surprised to hear that you were babysitting. Could you talk to us about that for a minute?
Yeah, I'm babysitting my little grandson. He's 1 year old. He turned a year old on April the 3rd. And he loves me. He loves his mom, but he really loves old grandpa. I think it's, he's kind of cool about it. He's my daughter, my youngest daughter, Precious, who's also an actress. And I'll tell you who Precious is. The movie L.A. Confidential was... she was the battered wife in the very beginning of the movie, and that was one of her screen credits. And she and her husband is Wes Berger, the same name as the actor on the Sex and the City. So they met in Winnipeg and got married and had a baby, and I'm so happy because his name is Jack. So Jack and I are partners. We're sitting around just grooving. And I was really worried because you know, there was no one here to help me do the computer because I'm so computer illiterate, it's a shame. But luckily my oldest boy, Paris, came in and here we are. But I just want to thank everybody for all the support everybody showed me, you know, when I was in jail. I got some letters that are going to be with me forever. And I got a book coming out in August 8th, I guess, on Simon Schuster. It's called The I Chong. Like the I Ching, only it's The I Chong. And it's going to be out. And I got a documentary called AKA Tommy Chong. That's coming out in June. It's going to show in New York, and then we're going to put it on the DVD, you know, for sale. And again, that's all about the bust and what I went through in jail. And let's see, what else? And I'm with the Marijuana Logs again. I'm back. We did three gigs in New Jersey and New York. And we sold out two of the shows, two out of three, which was pretty incredible. And that's about it. So back to you.
Well, thanks, Tommy. Very interesting. You know, Tommy, when one of the things that, as I was doing some research on exactly how the events of, and I don't mean to laugh, but I just wanted to know, Tommy, what was you thinking when you were trying to, when the judge was looking for some kind of, when your lawyers were pleading for leniency, the claim was that you were overcoming a marijuana problem and you were turning it to hobbies such as salsa dancing. Do you think you could have done better than the salsa dancing, or are you really a salsa dancer? We want the truth, Tommy.
Okay, yeah, I'm a salsa dancer. I love salsa dancing. And when I dance salsa, I can't smoke up. And so I was deadly serious, but the judge was a Quaker. And so he probably hated the dancing worse than he hated the pot. So I kind of, oh, but it, you know, it didn't matter, you know, because it was destined to happen. And it was destined, you know, what happened to me was destined to happen, and I've got no regrets. And I'm also a tango dancer. I love tango, and I love salsa. And it's because of my wife. She started dancing before I did, and I just couldn't let her be dancing out there alone with all those good-looking Mexicans. So, and you know how me and my Mexicans, I got to be careful, you know. You like salsa on your tacos. Who said that? That's funny, man. That's funny. No, tango is the best. And, you know, the thing is, when I was in jail, I met the best people in the world. I met a rapper called Mac from Sacramento. He was in on a gun charge. And I met a lot of very, very sad case marijuana growers that were doing, you know, 10, 15 years for having a gun on their farm. You know, everybody has a farm. You know, everybody that has a farm has a gun, so it was ridiculous. No, I would never go on Dancing with the Celebs, man. I don't like shows where they work you to death and then they don't pay you. No, I'm going to be doing, like I say, I'm going to be touring around with the Marijuana Logs, and I'm also still working live at different clubs with my wife, Shelby. Shelby is my partner, and she's in the movie. She's in the she's in everything that I do, and she's my manager, my wife, and my love. And someone asked me about Ray Dawn. Ray Dawn is in L.A. here. She's working more as a writer and a producer. And my other daughter, Robbie, she's also she's married to a fine artist named Toby Keene, who paints incredibly beautiful, beautiful paintings. And what else? Great to hear the wife thing. Yeah, I work with my wife, man. You know, I begged her to come on the road with me, and what is my view on our president? I love George Bush, because I'm a comedian, you see, and we love when we had idiots in office. It was much easier for us to do jokes, you know. But on the serious side, you know, if you look at what's been going on in the world, like Katrina and, you know, the tornadoes and that. I think that's nature's way of saying Bush is going to pay. He's going to pay, and he's going to pay. Back to you, girls.
Thank you, Tommy. You know, it's interesting to, when I was, again, getting back, not to get off topic, because I'm like you, Bush is one of my favorite subjects. I've never laughed so hard in the last few years in my life. But your the movie Nice Dreams was kind of interesting when I was reading about the arrest, the operation that they actually named the operation Operation Pipe Dreams. Do you believe that was just a direct dig at your own at your business? They say that they were targeting a lot of sellers, but considering it went from Nice Dreams to Operation Pipe Dreams, I don't know, isn't that considered entrapment on some level or another?
Yeah, well, what it really is they stole it. You know, they couldn't even come up with anything decent, you know, to call the operation. It should have been called Operation Nitwits or Operation Pathetic Right-Wing Republicans, because those guys, man, I want to do a video. You know the Girls Gone Wild video? I want to do a video called Republicans Gone Wild and show all these fools, you know, snorting coke and doing methamphetamine, because I really believe that our president has been doing meth. Because when you do meth, you tend to be turned into a tweaker, you know? And tweakers are people that get high and then they take things apart and they can't put things back together again. And I think that's exactly what Bush has been doing. He's been taking our country apart, Iraq, Iran, all these countries, takes them apart and he can't put them back together again. And the other thing is alcohol. You can see what alcohol does to our vice president, Dick Cheney. I mean, Dick Cheney got so drunk he thought his best friend was a duck and shot him. So, it just reinforces that the fact that these guys are really, you know, the wrong way. Everything they do is opposite to what it should be done. But I think it's also a payback for all the 8 years that we had with Bill Clinton, when we had peace and prosperity, where we had a surplus of some kind of $1 trillion, you know. So, this is the way the world works. The world works, like the I Ching says, you know, the only thing constant in this universe is change. Back to you.
Well, it seems that you are a big hit here on Pell Talk, Tommy. You've got some real fans here. You know, the fact that our president has once more gotten into... he's the most polled president in the history of polls and of presidents, and his latest poll was at 36%. So, and we're very aligned in our thinking as far as that is concerned. And thanks for your thoughts on that, Tommy. Tommy, tell us, how did you get involved in show business? And I mean, at a time when, you know, obviously, you know, the type of movies that you were doing, were you ambitious? Was this something that you just kind of fell into? Did you just sort of wake up one day from a little binge on marijuana and then just find yourself in a movie somewhere? Come on, tell us all about it. We are really interested in this. They're loving it here. And, hey, I don't see any of my canned laughter, everybody. You know, Tommy, it's kind of hard for people to know that we're laughing here at the other side while we're listening to you. So we have canned laughter provided for you. Come on to the mic, Tommy, and tell us about how you originally got into the business.
Okay, I've been entertaining since I was 10 years old. I grew up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and we lived in the country. And the only entertainment we had besides the radio with the one western or country station was my neighbor across the field played a fiddle. And so I played a little guitar, and so we used to, we had a two-man band when I was 10 years old, and they'd like, there'd be a big party and they'd come and wake me up and I'd grab my guitar and go sit and play, you know, dance music for, you know, 2-3 hours. And then when I was about 14, 15, I went to Army Cadets in Canada. And I brought my accordion. I was an accordion player as well. And I met another guitar player, an Indian, a Sarsi Indian, that played guitar. And he also did an Elvis impersonation later on, you know, when Elvis came out. And so I used to play backup guitar with an Indian Elvis impersonator. And we used to do the high schools. And then that evolved into we were playing for the Legion, you know, the old American, it was Canadian Legion, you know, the war vets. And they used to pay us a lot of good money. And so we would put on a show. And about that time I started dancing, you know, the black, I moved into the black neighborhood and started dancing and winning dance contests with my partner who was also a black girl. And so then I got into the black crowd, and then we put a rock and roll, well, a rhythm and blues band together. We were the first in Canada to play, you know, Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, and all those great black artists, Howling Wolf. And then we ended up going to Vancouver, and then we ended up finding Bobby Taylor, and then Bobby Taylor and I, we ended up going to Detroit. We got discovered by Berry Gordy, and so I was with Motown for a bunch of years when, you know, a lot of good things happened. For instance, I played with Jimi Hendrix. He showed up in a gig one time and sat in and played bass, and we played. And then with the Vancouver, we also discovered the Jackson 5. We found them. They were opening for us in Chicago, and they were first on the act. And so Bobby talked him into coming to Detroit. So we actually discovered the Jackson 5, and then Bobby quit the group to produce the Jackson 5 records. And so I went back to Vancouver and played around with the clubs, and ended up, we had a strip club. We owned two nightclubs. We had an after hours club where Berry Gordy discovered us, and then we had a strip club that we bought with the money from the after hours club. And so then I started watching that show, and it was pretty boring, so I started putting acting in. And then we started doing improvisational topless acting. And then that's when I met Cheech. Cheech was up there dodging the draft during the Vietnam War, and so he joined the troop as an actor. And then when the group broke, my brother fired us because we weren't making any money. And so then Cheech and I stayed together, and that's when we called ourselves Cheech and Chong up in Vancouver. And then we came down to Los Angeles in 1970, and we kind of starved and, you know, auditioned around for a year. And then Lou Adler with Old Records discovered us. And then we did all the albums, you know, the 70s, all from 71 on to 70 to 80, we did albums. And then we got tired of touring, we got tired of recording, so we started doing movies. And we did the movies, all the movies we did from 77 to 85. That was their movie career. And then Cheech got tired and he wanted to try something else, and so he quit, and then I started doing comedy on my own, and that's and now here I am. Back to you.
Wow, thanks, Tommy. You know, that's it's so interesting. And naturally, what did I pick up on? You did Motown. Oh my God, I knew you were the most rocking guy. I absolutely just knew this. We're going to take a break, Tommy, right now. We've got a ton of hands up, and everybody's just dying to get a little piece of you. So we're going to take a small break, and as soon as we come back, we'll be taking questions from our virtual audience here on Pal Talk. Pal Talk at www.paltalk.com. Download the free program and the software, and come on in and join us. Now to our break, and we'll be right back.
That's the Big Dipper over there. And there's the Little Dipper.
You take the balloon, and you rub the balloon on your head like this. And then it'll stick to the wall.
Brown shoes, brown belt. Black shoes, black belt.
You want to know how to whistle? Pucker your lips. You leave a little hole like this. Blow out. And that's how you whistle.
Yellow and blue make green.
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For a few quick pointers, visit actagainstviolence.org or call 877-ACT-WISE for a free brochure.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, the American Psychological Association, and the Ad Council.
Thank you, and welcome back to The People Speak with Tommy Chong. Tommy Chong of Cheech and Chong fame and good fortune is our guest tonight. Tommy, we're going to be taking some questions from our audience. Please give us your name and where you're calling from, and please make your questions to Tommy brief. Our first guest question is from Swan Songstress. Swanee, where are you from and what's your name?
Thank you, Vixie. You can just call me Swanee. And I'm here in California. Tommy, I want to say hello to you and tell you that I speak for many I know when I say that we remember you quite fondly as part of the real-life manifestation of the Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers. By the way, whoever stole my Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers comics, you're going to get yours. But that aside, yes, my question, first of all, is, are you involved in any of the efforts to legalize marijuana? And specifically, what are you, you mentioned it, but I'm curious to know if right now you are. We heard a brief blip where Willie Nelson mentioned normal. And here in California, I'm in Santa Cruz area, where medical marijuana and the legalization thereof is very important to many people. So I'd like to know your thoughts on that and if you are involved and if you'd like to be more involved. Thanks.
Okay, yeah, yes, I'm involved as much as I can and still, you know, make a living. It's not my, I've always been involved, you know, I mean, just me being me, brought a lot of, attention to the plot thing. And I've always tried to show our movies, you know, try to show the humor side of it. And because I really believe that is really the best way to change anything is to by laughing at it, you know, by having something finding something funny in the situation, because you look at the reasons why it's still illegal, and then you can understand, you know, how corrupt, you know, and the pharmaceutical companies and the alcohol industry and the all these people, you know, how they've corrupted, you know, the American system. You know, just look at what the pharmaceutical companies do. They, when they find a plant that cures anything, they either buy it all out and then keep it off the market, because the pharmaceutical companies they're not there to cure anybody. They're there to keep them sick so they can sell medicines. Just like I found out, there's been a cure for cancer for over 20 years. And I'm involved in part of that program, which is, it's called the vitamin C intravenous drip. And what it does is I'm on a program now where every couple of days I'll go into the nutritionist, and I'll sit and I'll take a full quart of vitamin C mixed with other vitamins directly into my veins. And what happens is that this enormous dose of vitamin C cleans out the system. Cleans out, you know, I had sinus problems. I had all sorts of, you know, the typical California bronchial thing. And the vitamin C therapy, which has been around, they found out, Linus Pauling found out that vitamin C therapy really helped cancer patients. You know, helped them to the point where it got rid of it. And the pharmaceutical companies don't want that knowledge up there. So I'm involved as a human guinea pig. I'm 68 years old now, and I've been smoking since I was 16 years old. And I'm in better shape than Arnold Schwarzenegger. So that gives you, this is how I feel that the best way to teach anybody is by, let them see what you're doing, you know, and then they can copy it. So yes, that's how I'm involved, is just by putting myself out there, putting my movies out there, and putting my views out there. And even if it's unpopular, and even if I have to go to jail, I'm still... The thing is, I went to jail because, Bush was trying to distract people from this non-existence weapons of mass destruction. And so he busted me for bongs, and which is ridiculous. But the jail experience only made me stronger. And my views on pot, I've known firsthand, I've seen people with Crohn's disease and people with MS, how the pot has retarded the growth of these diseases. And so, I'm going to be a keynote speaker in next week, April 20th, 4/20 in San Francisco at the Normal convention. And so I support Normal. I support all those people, marijuana policy. I support, the ACLU, and I support the Make-A-Wish Foundation, because again, they are in need of decent pot laws so people can get the right medication that they need. But, the best way, again, I can't stress it any stronger that, by example, like I tell kids, if you're going to school and you're smoking pot, make sure that you get, that you're on the honor roll. And if you're not getting great marks, then stop smoking pot, because some of you can do it. Some of you computer nerds can smoke and maintain. Other people can't. And if you can't, the great thing about pot is that it's not addicting. You don't have to smoke. Like you can smoke cigarettes. You can't quit cigarettes. But when I went to jail, I quit pot. It was easy. Nothing to it. And so, this is what we have to do. We teach by example. That's my mantra. Back to you.
Thank you, Tommy. Heliduck, can you come to the microphone, give us your name and where you're calling from? We have to remember this is a G room, and we are not advocating any form of illegal drug usage in any way, shape, or form. These are personal views, and we all and I think if we're going look at the situation, we're going to look at it that you held on to your principles and you were willing to stand up for whatever it is that you believed in, Tommy. And that in itself is a high level of thinking. Now, Heliduck, where are you from and what's your name?
Hey, Tommy, my name's Jason. I'm on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. Thanks again for coming out here with us tonight. It's really cool of you to take the time. This is a really neat deal. I just discovered it today, so I'm happy I found it on this night. My question is, we've been seeing a guy post over and over again on the site here that Cheech is a sellout. So first of all, what is, if you still have a relationship with Cheech Marin, and what are the chances of another Cheech and Chong flick? Thanks.
Well, no, Cheech, he just grew in a different direction, And when he got with Don Johnson, he sort of like became like a Don Johnson type of actor. And, you know, everybody's entitled to do, you know, live their life exactly the way they want to. I, on the other hand, I was too old to change. And so I couldn't change. And as far as Cheech being a sellout, well, you know, it depends on how you look at it, you know. I mean, if people change, you know, all the more power, you know, do it. And I love what happened to us, you know, because it enabled me to bring my wife in and you know, to get a partner that I'm not only happy with on stage, but I'm happy with in bed, you know. Because Cheech really wasn't that great in bed, I got to tell you that. And I'm joking, by the way, okay? And are we going to get together? Well, you know, New Line wanted to do a Cheech and Chong reunion movie. And I was in jail, and they had Larry Charles, you know, from Entourage. He wrote a script, but it really wasn't a Cheech and Chong script, so I had to rewrite it, and then Cheech really didn't want to be involved being the old Cheech again, so that's on the shelf right now. But I'll tell you what we are doing. We're working on a play called Up in Smoke, The Play, where we're going to get actors to play young Cheech and Chong, different actors, and it's going to be like a Broadway play, like much like Spamalot. And we're going to do the Cheech and Chong's greatest hits, and we're going to do the greatest comedy from all our albums, and we're going to do a compilation of all the great Cheech and Chong moments, and we're going to do it on stage, and it's so exciting. I'm just loving it, and I think that's the answer to your question. And
wow, fascinating. Sounds like you got a lot going on there, Tommy. Our next guest with a question is Illinois Guy, 1968. Illinois Guy, where are you from? What's your name? And a brief question for Tommy, please. And let's remember, this is a G Room.
Hey, Tommy, what's up, man? Actually, it's Gee, and I'm from Chicago. I could ask you about, you know, all the famous people that you've hung with, the 70s show cast, and Timothy Leary and Hendrix, and ask you about what it's like to party with them, but I won't. What I will ask you about is some of the things that people have been saying about those of us who may choose to partake, that we have no idea about politics. And it seems to me that the opposite is true. Would you care to comment on that? Thank you.
The problem that I've always had with pot in terms of being, you know, it makes you feel so good that you don't want to argue. You don't want to fight. You know, I mean, a pothead argument is very funny, you know, it's like, you don't, you know, just like pot-fueled rage, you know, you might shrug your shoulders and forget why you're mad. But as far as, it depends on the person, you see, there's different people, you know, different strokes for different folks, and guys like, well, Bill Clinton, you know, he was a master politician, and you know he did inhale. And chances are that his wife, Hillary, inhales. And chances are that so many people, I know for a fact that Dick Cheney's Secret Service people smoked because they all bought bongs from me one time before I got busted. So, you know, it's really hard to tell who smokes and who doesn't smoke, but as far as, here's what I think that we should do, again, because of the climate, you know. When you, you know, wear long hair and when you profess to be, you know, potheads, you become a target, you see. And people love targets, especially the Republicans. They love pointing fingers, you know. Like they're doing right now in the political scene, you know. They're saying that it's the Democrats' fault that Bush had to lie, because if the Democrats hadn't found the truth, then Bush wouldn't have had to lie. When you think of that logic, sure, it's ridiculous, but the voters are kind of stupid too, you know, obviously. So, you know, I really do think that pot use, personal pot use, if you're going to be into politics, you got to do what Bill Clinton did. You got to become a chameleon. You got to fit in with everybody. Like, there's a lot of people. I look at the political scene, and you can tell who smokes or at least used to smoke. Obama, you know, that great black senator. Where's he from? Hawaii or something? You know this guy is turned on, you know, and he'd make a hell of a great president. So we just have, as potheads, we have to be very, very careful how we present ourselves, you know, and that's really, I hope I answered your question. I actually forgot what it was.
Touché. Thank you. And our next question is going to come from Yahala Days. Yahala Days, please take the mic. Tell us where you're from and your name. And your question to Tommy Chong. We have Tommy Chong of the famous Cheech and Chong movie and Old World and New World icon. Come to the mic, Holidays. And please bear in mind this is a G-rated room and we are not advocating the use of any illegal drugs.
Hi, Cheech. Hi, Tommy. I'm from California, Southern California, Covina area. My question is, they've answered all my other questions, so I'm just digging out another one. Have you ever considered doing a weekly series, like a comedy thing? Every night, you know, one night a week special or something like that.
Yeah, of course. You know, when I was on that 70s show, I had so much fun that we were talking about doing a spinoff with Leo. But it never really went anywhere. And there was a question, you know, people asked me about the other 70 show kids, you know, did they get high? Well, the truth is no, none of them smoked. You know, a couple of them were into Scientology but they're great, great, great actors, you know. Topher, for instance, he bought a bong off me and then he used it as a flower vase. And I thought that was very cool. And but the crew that I worked with on the 70s show, they all smoked. It's, you know, what was I going to say now? See, you made me forget. I forgot the question. I got to go back to you and find out what it was. I lost my train of thought.
That's all right. We got plenty more trains. Where that came from, Tommy? Henry Morgan is up next. Henry, can you come to the mic and keep your question brief and tell us where you're from and what your name is?
Yeah, hi, Tommy. I'm Henry from Mississippi, and I love your movies. They're awesome. My favorite is Up in Smoke. Best. Oh, it was hilarious. Now, Mississippi, Illinois. I have kind of two questions. Number one, let me turn down just a little bit. Okay, is that any better? is that any better? Number one, okay. All right, number one, I have a question. Were you and Cheech really high when you were doing your movies? Number one. Number two, are you working with Montel Williams to legalize medicinal marijuana? That's all.
Number one, I forgot what the question was. Oh, were we high when we did the movies? Well, we tried it, you know, of course, because when we did the records, we used to, you know, sit around the studio, and we'd, you know, either smoke up before, smoke up after, or smoke up all the whole time. But when we did the movies, we couldn't do that because we had to repeat take after take, and so we found out very early in the movie career that we could only smoke up during the dailies, you know, when we looked at the rushes at night. And now the other question was, God, I forgot, man. What was the other?
His other question was about whether or not you were working with Montel Williams in legalizing medicinal marijuana. Don't worry, you just look to us, honey. We'll take care of you, Tommy. Dennis the Menace, _1, come to the mic. Tell us where you're from and who you are, what your name is, and ask Tommy a brief question, please.
First of all, Tommy, I want to thank you and Cheech for getting me through my teenage years. You know, Nixon, all that crap really depressed me, and you guys kept me sane. And my question is, have you heard Charlie Sheen's comments on 9/11? And I was wondering what your views were, and if you'd heard the, if you had seen the video Loose Change. Thank you.
Yeah, I just saw Charlie, yesterday. Yeah, I just saw Charlie, and I shook his hand and said, thanks for sticking it out there, you know. Yeah, what Charlie Sheen did, he spoke out and said that the 9/11 plane attack in New York City was a planned operation that the government knew about, at least some of the military people knew about this plan, and there's proof. There's, you know, the conspiracy theorists have proof that it was planned out, you know, much the same as the Kennedy assassination wasn't just one guy, you know. They found proof that there were other people involved. My personal take, I wouldn't doubt it. I know that Pearl Harbor, they knew about Pearl Harbor, and they really ignored the warnings. If you look at Massawi's trial, the FBI knew that there were guys trying to learn how to fly planes into buildings, you know, just trying to find out how to fly a plane. They didn't want to learn how to land it. And every time the agents would report it to their superiors, it would be ignored. And to me, that's very, very suspicious. And I heard something today that really made me laugh, because they said that the White House was not a place where they gathered intelligence information. Like they're saying, you know, like the CIA and the FBI, they're intelligent gathering information. And the White House wasn't. I mean, how ridiculous is that statement? Because everything that is gathered by the intelligence community goes right to the president. I mean, don't these fools watch 24? You know, the Kiefer Sutherland show? But was it a conspiracy? Time will tell. But I'll tell you one thing. I would sure hate to have that kind of karma on my back. You know, all those people dying and the horrible way they died. I mean, if it was just to gain power, I mean, wow, it is ridiculous, you know, for people. It's insane. It's insanity. It's insanity. And yeah, the buildings, when they fell down, it was ridiculous too, you know, because, you know, skyscrapers aren't supposed to fall down like that, you know. So, who knows? But I'll tell you another thing. I was on that the World Trade Center, and when you're up at the top, the buildings kind of sway, and I got the creepiest feeling when I was up there. And I was up there with this other couple that I barely met, and when he got up to the top, he was arguing. We took separate elevators up to the top, and when a painter, and he was the boyfriend, and they were like having this horrendous fight when they got to the top. It was ridiculous. It was embarrassing. And so my wife and I kind of disappeared and wandered around. But when I was on the World Trade Center, I felt a real creepy vibe that I never felt before, and it stayed with me. So things are ordained, man. Whether or not they were planned, whether or not they were, you know, however it came about, it was ordained. You know, the universe has a way of cleaning out stuff, you know. And there's the only thing constant in this universe is change. Remember that. Back to you.
Thank you, Tommy. Although I do have to disagree with you to a certain extent, because actually I think it makes perfect sense, because if you have to look at our administration, and the key word here, Tommy, would be intelligence. We are seriously lacking a lot of intelligence in the White House. After all, our president is still trying to get us to coexist with the fish. We want everybody in the world dead, but we're going to coexist with those fishes. Our next speaker is Tan Man number one. Tan Man, would you come to the mic, state your name, where you're calling from, and a very brief question for Tommy, please. We've got a lot of hands up. We're trying to get as many people to the mic as we can.
Thank you very much. Phil from Ventura, California. Tommy, first of all, as an ex-director of a cannabis club, thank you very much for your support. My question simply is this. Did you write your material for your Cheech and Chong albums, or did you have a set of writers there?
No, we wrote everything. Cheech and I wrote everything. You know, in fact, we never even had a producer. When we did Dave's Not Here, Lou Adler came in and produced the record. And then he also produced Blind Melon Chitlin. But the way Cheech and I work, it's kind of weird, because we sort of like, you know, we just make stuff up, and then we listen to it, then we change it, and, you know, we just play around. So what we ended up doing, we ended up going into a little small mixdown room with an engineer, and that's the way we did our everything. And we wrote everything, you know. I was the one that physically wrote stuff down on paper. But, you know, Cheech was the master improvisational actor that would come up with these genius lines. And, you know, to this day, I mean, I watch all those movies and I just marvel at the way Cheech's grasp of the music, you know, My Scrotum, all those songs he used to sing, that all came out of Cheech, you know, like Basketball Jones and, you know, Earache My Eye. Well, I wrote Earache My Eye, but Cheech wrote Born in East L.A., you know. So, yeah, we wrote everything, man. I couldn't even think of, I don't even know how to hire writers, but when I had to learn, you know, when I was with that 70s show, but anyway, yeah, we do write everything.
Wow, Tommy, that's just, not that I'm surprised, after reading some research on you, I am just profoundly humbled by so many things that you have done. And you have written some of the most classic comedy skits in the history of comedy. Bravo. Can clapping, everybody. Our next speaker is Coho 22. Coho, where are you calling from? What's your name, and what is your brief question to Tommy?
Howdy, my name is Trevor. I am from St. Louis, Missouri. Nice to meet you, Tommy. And thanks to all the friends that came in here under the invites. Let's give Tommy a high five for doing this in Pal Talk. First off, I want to say that Cheech was no good in bed. You were right about that. But my question, sir, is this. You said recently that you made a pact with God while you were in jail about not promoting the magic herb. Your name is synonymous with the magic herb, so I'm just kind of curious how that's going.
Well, you know, I never really made that pact with anybody, you know, not promoting it. Definitely promote it, but what the pact I made was that I wasn't going to let the feds put me in a position where they could arrest me, you know. Because now that I'm a felon, you know, I didn't know this, but I was told when I got out, I went to a halfway house, and then after the halfway house, I had to go down to the police station at 4 in the morning in Parker Center and register as a drug offender. And instead of, it was like a badge of honor. instead of being upset or being, you know, shamed, I was, you know, it was like registering to vote, you know. Yes, I am a pothead and I'm writing it down, you know. And they have a law here that if you're a registered offender, if you move your residence, you have to notify the police within 10 days or else you're subject to a federal prison. So when I got in the system, I found out they had all these things, you know, the drug testing. If I were to test dirty, they could tack 5 years on my sentence. They could do anything they want, and they could keep me on probation forever if they wanted to. So you got to really, really be careful. You can't walk around the way you did before, you know, before I was busted, you know, because I used to smoke up at the show, you know, when people lined up to buy stuff, I would smoke up. It was so innocent. But that innocence is gone because this administration, you know, they're out to demonize everybody that doesn't agree with them. And so you got to be very, very careful and private. You know, I look at it this way, man. We have smoking laws on the books now, and that's all we need. You know, we don't need to worry about legalizing or, you know, just decriminalize it. Just leave us alone, you know. And that's the way we have to do it now. So be careful. I mean, you people that have been busted, you know what I'm talking about. And the people that have been busted, you know, just be careful. And I just seen a thing, you know, come on, tell us about party with Timothy Leary and Pee Wee Herman. Yeah, we partied. Tim Leary was the greatest, man. He was great. I met William Burroughs with Tim one time. We had a wonderful time. And I partied with Hendrix, man, except he was into heroin, so he wasn't really interested in my little doobie. But I'll tell you who I did party with and had a great time with: George Harrison, the Beatles. I partied with George a couple of times, and it was great, man. We had a lot of time, a lot of fun talking and laughing. And I partied with every Beatle except Paul. And when I met John was, you know, into his... John Lennon was into his Mi Ling phase, and he was worried about his immigration. He was going through what I went through, you know. And so I was in room with him and Rod Stewart, and they both refused my offer of a big smelly joint. But I partied with them all, man, and I'm still here.
You sure are, and you're doing, and you're still rocking, Tommy. Our next question and our last question will be from Mama Roo. Mama Roo is one of my favorite people on Pal Talk. Mama, tell us where you're from, what your name is, and this is the last question, so make it count, honey.
Hi, Tommy. I'm Roo. I'm from West Palm Beach. I just want you to know how much I enjoyed you in the 60s and the 70s, in my teen years and college years. And I watched you so much on the 70s show. And I waited so much in anticipation for Cheech to show up on the 70s show. And he didn't. You know? And then I don't so much, and I love the reference off and on in the 70s show to Amsterdam. I would crack up, and my husband had no idea what I was laughing about, the Amsterdam thing. And I am totally agreeable about legalizing pot. But I have a question that so many people say, and I'm sure in your history with the people you know, that they say pot leads to harder drugs. And with this epidemic of crack cocaine, the crack going on, do you feel that's true? You start out with pot, and then go on to something else and something else, that pot leads to a harder drug with all this epidemic going on with the crack. And what do you think of crack? Go ahead, Tommy.
I was just cleaning up my crack pipe No, I don't believe in crack. I don't believe in anything that makes you want to, hit the pipe again 2 seconds later. I grew up in Calgary and Vancouver. Now, Vancouver is where all the heroin from China stops. And so there was an epidemic of heroin use in Vancouver. And when you see a heroin user, you know, with a needle hanging out of its arm, laying in the gutter, you know, having washed or soiled themselves, I mean, just laying there, it sort of deters you from going in that direction. The truth is pot a gateway drug? No. For some people it is, but then again, for some people, alcohol is a gateway drug. Methamphetamine is a gateway drug. I mean, look what meth freaks have to do in order to get their high. They have to cook up cough syrup. They have to go through all this stuff, chasing that elusive speed, the rush that they're getting. And all, what does it do? Makes them want to work harder, you know. The herb is definitely, like I say, the herb is not addicting. Therefore, for some people it could be. They could try it. I've known junkies that wouldn't touch pot. You know, to them it's just like a waste of time. Made them hungry, you know. So I believe that potheads are in a club and a class all our own, and it's made up of writers and directors and musicians and athletes and students and MS patients and Crohn disease patients and cancer patients and amputees and people that just want to be mellow, you know. I mean, look at all the legal drugs. They're the most dangerous, you know, cough syrup, alcohol, all these mood altering drugs, you know, that they'll give you, you know, for kids, you know, to, because they're so called hyperactive. You know, it's ridiculous. But look at the food that they feed the American people. I mean, I'm really into nutrition now. I took a blood test and they ran a test to see what I was, you know, what I needed more of and what I needed less of. And the thing, the food, the white flour, you know, the hydrogenated butters and fats are killing Americans. You know, like McDonald's are killing people, you know, just literally killing, shortening their lives. And I've seen instances where people, you know, had a few hot dogs and died from an overdose on nitrates. So, you know, the pot, it's so ridiculous. It's a natural herb that just grows wild if you let it. And it's there. It's a gift from God. And on the contrary, you know, I found a religious a path while I was in jail. And it's in my book, The I Chong. And when you read it, you'll see that, you know, that I owe it all to the magic herb, because if it wasn't for the magic herb, I wouldn't have had the insight that I got. So in closing, I just want to thank everybody for their questions. And I know that a lot of people want to think that I'm just this party animal. Well, you know, I'm an actor. I'm a writer, you know, and I'm an entertainer, and that's what I do. But I'm a seeker of the truth. To me, there's nothing greater than to be creative, you know, be able to write a book or stand on stage and be funny or to do a movie. I'm so blessed. I mean, you look at my career, my life, everything I've done, you know, with the help of pot. And it's enabled me to live a life that's the envy of everybody. Even when I was in jail, even the warden was intimidated by me. One time when I first was in there, they put me in the warden's office, and I made him so nervous that he left me. He walked out. I'm supposed to leave, and he walked out instead. And then when I was working in the garden, the warden would be so intimidated by my presence that he wouldn't even come over to where I was, because I was, you know, playing in clay and making things out of wood and doing everything you're not supposed to be doing in jail. But they left me alone because they knew I wasn't a criminal. And so, you know, and the people that are, all the potheads that are in jail, you know, they're the ones that really make the prison livable. You know, they're the ones that grow gardens. They're the ones that keep the place clean. They're the ones that, you know, arrange shows and get the books and get everything in there. So pot, you know, is really, really, it's really a blessing from God. It's even in the Bible, you know, where he turns Moses on to the burning bush. And with that, I'll say thanks again.
Well, Tommy, I know we had a bit of a rough start here on Pal Talk this evening with some technical problems, but I'm telling you, Tommy, this has been a great show. As you can see, everybody's just loving you. We are so pleased and proud to have had you as a guest on The People Speak, and when the people speak, we make a difference. So keep on speaking, people. Our guest next week is going to be Dr. Justin Frank, who is a psychoanalyst and author of the bestseller Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of a President. And I'm supposed to say this for our producer friend. My, what a dark, empty place that must be in Bush's head. This is Pal Talk Virtual Auditoriums. Go to www.paltalk.com, and you too can download the software and join us. Tommy, again, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you all for being so great and giving Tommy such a warm welcome. We really appreciate it. I'm sorry to the guests that didn't have a chance to get on the mic and talk to Tommy. Please come back, and thank you very much. Signing off, folks.